Book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Going to start from verse 1.
O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakkerem, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman.
Now here is God is giving warning to children of Israel, especially the Benjaminite. And he is saying the Benjamin tribe was the youngest tribe. You remember Joseph and Benjamin? And so he's saying the Benjamin tribe is looking like a young girl, very calmly, very beautiful, very delicate girl. You will see there are so many pretty girls today, and their beauty takes them to destruction. Very rarely beautiful girls are worshiping the Lord. Most of these movie stars and singers, they are beautiful, but they are worldly. Very few beautiful people are turned to God. So here is saying to the O children of Benjamin. So this Benjamin tribe, even though it was blessed tribe, but this tribe went away from the Lord. But still God blessed these Benjamins. You see, in these Benjamin tribes, two good things came. One was the first king came from the Benjamin tribe. That was the Saul, the first king. And another from the Benjamin tribe, we already learned, the Saul became Paul. Both of them came from the Benjamin tribe. Saul the king was not good. He did not do anything according to the will of God, but the Paul did. So God is saying to this Benjamin tribe, you are beautiful, you are very comely, we are very delicate, but that's why I do not want you to get hurt. So God says, I don't want to harm you. I don't want to destroy you. You are so beautiful. You are so delicate. But I'm trying to tell you, run away from this problem coming. The problem is coming, and I do not want you to get into this problem. I want to protect you. I want to save you. God always gives the warning, and God always wants people to be protected. But the people, sometimes they do not listen. They take advantage. God is good, and I did something wrong last week. He didn't zap me. I didn't die yet, have any punishment. So I did it for 5 years and nothing happening. And so this becomes like a habit. Nothing is going to happen. But here the God is saying destruction is coming. God is not going to pamper sinners all the time. First time Jesus Christ came as a savior. Now he's not coming back as a savior. He's coming as a judge. Okay, verse 3.
The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place.
Now there is a shepherds coming. All the time when you talk, shepherds are good people. They shepherd their flock and they take care of their flock, and the shepherds are good people. They mind their business. They are not highly educated, and they just take care of the sheep and shepherds. They are good. But these shepherds are not good shepherds. These shepherds are bad shepherds. They are coming and surrounding you, and their motive is to destruction and destroy you. They are not a good one. They are not going to give you good water. They are not going to give you a good pastor. But their motive is to destroy you. Verse 4.
Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces.
Now here the enemies is saying, you know what? Let's go and destroy this city, or destroy this Jerusalem. But they said, we are preparing. Let's go. The time is good. It's a noon time. We can see everything. We can destroy them. Let's go. But they start preparing and start getting evening, the dark. They said the shadow is coming. In those days, they didn't have the clocks, so they can go only sunshine, and the shadow is getting longer. That means sun is setting. So they are saying, we should have gone and destroyed these people in the noontime so we can see everything. But now it's getting evening and getting darker. But they said, don't worry. It's a noontime or an evening time or a night time. We made up our mind. We are going to destroy these people. So go in the night time. And the night time is the worst time, because night time people sleep, rest. And so these people are saying, we wanted to go in afternoon, and then we planning to go into evening. It didn't happen. And so let's go in the nighttime and destroy them. And so they made up their mind to go and destroy these people. Verse 6.
For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her.
Now, when you read this, it's a little bit confusing. When you read these words, who is talking? Enemy was saying, let's go in the nighttime and destroy these people. And enemies are coming. And here, God is in enemy's side. Now, God is giving enemy ideas what to do. What God is saying to enemies, you know what? I'm giving you ideas. If you want to destroy this city, and they have all the city walls and everything, and they are secure, but I'm giving you idea. What you do, cut down the tall trees. And when you cut down the trees and put it towards the wall, that means you're going to make a ladder. And you cut down the trees and make a ladder, and that's the way to destroy it. So God is giving enemy ideas. And some people will say, why God is not in our side? Why God is in enemy's side? Sometimes when you do not listen to God, then the God gives you in the enemy's hand. And when he's giving to enemy's hand, now God is telling enemy what to do and how to destroy these people. Verse 7.
As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds.
Now he's giving an example how these people are. The fountains of the water gives you a good drink. When you people are buying the drinks, bottle drinks, they will say crystal clear water, or they say fountain of water, or coming from the good source, or coming from the rock. So the people like to drink that kind of water. So this is the fountain, is the water is always coming, good water in the fountain of a well, the fountain. But he says, my people, instead of giving a good water, what are they doing? They are bringing wickedness, violence, spoil, hatred, and they are doing all these things continually, and that's causing them grief and wounds. So this is the situation the people are living in. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the earth. We're supposed to be giving life to people, bringing them to the salvation. When God was working with the children of Israel, we were just studying the book of Exodus, and when they came out of the Red Sea, water was like a wall, and people were singing and dancing and coming out, and they start saying in their song, all these enemies will be afraid. They will be melt down. They will be afraid of us because see what God has done. And in those days, people were having a great respect for the children of Israel, because their God was doing signs and wonders and miracles. But now these children of Israel forgot the God's power, forgot what God is doing, and they are start doing evil things. Instead of doing good, they are doing evil. And people are having pleasure doing evil and they are not feeling bad. Because here is saying, instead of giving good water, Bible says the fountain does not give salty water and good water at the same time. But here, instead of giving good things, they are giving bad things. They are giving wickedness and violence and spoil, and all these bad things are coming from the children of Israel. That's why I told you, if you go to the foreign countries like Saudi Arabia or India, those people are looking as an American, as a Christian, evil people. They're thinking they are good and we are evil. We have a best message. We have the best Savior. We have the science and wonders and miracles happening through us. But our lifestyle is wicked. And so that's why the people are hating Christianity. I told you, when I was going to one village and people were smoking in that bus, and I'm the only one Christian and all Hindus, and I was choking, so I pulled the chain and stopped the bus. And the man says, what do you want? I said, sir, what the sign says? In sign says no smoking, and everybody's smoking. So he thought I might be some kind of government officer, so he stopped the bus and told everybody to go out and smoke outside and then come. And so the one person sat beside me, sir, where are you going? Now I was going to go to Christian village, and I was a little bit ashamed to tell that person about that Christian village name. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going somewhere here close by. Tell me the name of the place you're going. And I told the name of the village. Those people are bad people. They smoke, they drink, they fight, they rob, they kill, they destroy. They are gangsters. They are bad people. You going there? I said, yes, sir. Whose house you going? I gave the man's name. That man has a drum full of liquor in front of his house. And 20, 30 people all day long, they sit there and they drink. And he has the cigarette storage for 10 years. And so you going to that house? I said, yes. How are you going to sleep there? I said, sir, I'll tell you if I meet you again, the man of the house will give up smoking and drinking. And you will meet him in the market, and he will be witness for 10 villages. This is I'm saying by faith. But I'm giving him idea to you how people think about Christians. Thank God I went to that town, I went to that man's house, and I told him the story, what happened in the bus, and I prayed for him. It's a long story. And he gave up the smoking, he gave up the drinking, and destroyed everything. Drum up for liquor and everything, and he became the witness to 10 villages. Hey, somebody came to your house, what happened? He says, something happened. No liquor, no smoking. The point I'm making, other people are looking at Christian like a bad people. We have no good testament. Our dress code, our language will tell you that you are not a Christian. And so here is saying, you're supposed to bring a good water. Jesus Christ says, out of your belly will flow the rivers of water. And so what kind of water you will be producing? Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be doing signs and wonders and miracles. And you will be winning souls for Christ. That's what God is saying. If you are thirsty, come to me. And I will give you the living water. I will be giving the rivers of water. Not one, but many rivers will flowing from you. Are we ready to receive that kind of river? You remember that lady came to Jesus Christ and she said she was a prostitute. She was a bad lady. She didn't want anybody to see her. That's why she's coming secretly noontime to get the water. And here Jesus Christ say, give me the water. You know the story, but the point I'm making, that lady was sinner. She was hiding from people. She didn't want to see anybody's face. She had the four husbands. She divorced four, and the one fifth one was living without a marriage. And that's what's happening today. People are living without marriage. They say, marriage is what? Just a piece of paper. Oh no, if you marry, the marriage is honorable and bed undefiled. God honors the marriage. You can say, oh, I'm living with this girl for 5 years or 10 years, and automatically we are already married. Doesn't work. You are in adultery. You're doing fornication. In the sight of God, you are a sinner. And so the lady comes to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, give me a water. And she starts arguing. I don't want to tell the whole story. But the point I'm making, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you water like a fountain of water bubbling in your heart. You will never thirst again. He was talking about the living water, the eternal life. And some of the people, when they are dying, what do you want? Water. So the water, the worldly water, will not quench your spiritual thirst. The word of God says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Means bread alone or water alone. You can drink the water, you can eat the bread, but one day you're going to die. That's why God is saying you should be producing the living water. Like that Samaritan lady. She came to Jesus and she dropped her bucket or dropped her thing and went back to the city. Say, see, I saw a man. He might be a Messiah. He might be the Savior. He told me everything about my sin. And come and see him. And the whole city came. Can you imagine? That lady got the living water and she was able to give that water to the whole city. And see what God is saying. You are polluted water. Because of your polluted water, because of your polluted life, the violence is happening and the spoil is happening. People are doing all kinds of violence to you and you don't listen to me continually. That's why you have griefs and you have wounds. Sickness and disease comes because of disobedience. God wants holy vessel. God wants clean vessels. So here he says, your vessel is bad, your water is bad, your life is bad, and because of that you have griefs and you have wounds, you have sickness, you have disease, and all kinds of things are happening to you. Sickness and disease is not for us. What we read in a Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, and read very clearly what he says. We quote these words and say to somebody, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. So repeat that word and you'll be healed. Doesn't work that way. Please read.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
So what God is saying, you saw what happened in Egypt. How many people died with all kinds of plagues and disease and things like that. But if you hear my voice diligently, if you listen to me, if you hear my commandment, walk accordingly, then none of this disease will come upon you. We should be living a healthy life. Divine healing is from God. If you are healthy, why you need a hospital? Why you have to go to hospital? The jails are made for what? Ministers? Holy people? Pastors? No. But today they are putting pastors in jail and the ministers in jail. Point I'm making, the jails are made for the sinners. Everything coming from your heart is wickedness, and that's causing you grief, and that causing you wounds, and that causing you sickness and disease and all kinds of cancers. So God says, I have a solution. Listen to me. Come to me. Then I will take care of you. Go back to the Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8.
Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited.
See what he's trying to say. David, when committed sin, he said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. We need the power of God. We need the presence of God. If God is not in your life, he said, your life will be like a desolate. Your life will be like a barren place. No water, no fruits, no birds, nothing. Just like a vast place with nothing growing. Like people never lived there. That's the kind of life will be. One's devil in their heart, and they're thinking Jesus is in my heart. They're deceiving themselves. If Jesus comes in, evil goes out. It's simple. When I received Jesus Christ, all my evil things went away. I had no struggle. Only say, Jesus, come into my heart, change my life. He changed. What the word of God say? He shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Free from everything. If you are not living in truth, if you are living in lie, if you are living in mixed messages, and you don't believe that our God is so powerful than devil, why people are worshiping devil? Because they want power. I heard other day that man was he was doing demonic things, and he said, I want more power and more power, and devil gave him more power, and he started destroying other people, and one day devil started choking him and killing him. And then he called upon Jesus. As soon as he called upon Jesus, devil ran away. Jesus Christ greater than any devil. Call upon Jesus. If you have any Ouija board, if you have any palm reading in your house, if you are looking in the newspaper, what is my star today, or what's going to happen tomorrow in my life, burn that thing. If you start looking in those things, slowly but surely, devil will come and get hold of you. Then the Spirit of God will leave you. You go to somebody's houses. In that house, the demon is controlling their house. When you go, I go to somebody's house. When you go into that house, the air feels thick, just like you can cut it. I can feel it in my spirit. Some evil power or evil spirit is going on in this house. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Bring the man of God in your house and let them cast out those evil spirit, and you will have peace. So here they're saying, you know what's going to happen? If you do not live accordingly, my spirit will leave. Okay, verse 9.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets.
Now here he's saying, he's giving an example. He's giving an example when the enemy comes to destroy you. These are the different kinds of enemy I'm sending. He's giving the example of the grape vine. He says when you have a grapes and you hire somebody to pick the grapes. And they pick the grapes and store it. And most of the time they say, if the person is rich, he will say, don't take the remaining. Give it to the poor people. Let's leave it. But here he's saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send the enemy just like a grape pickers. They will come and pick the grapes, means destroy you. And they will come back again if there is anything remaining. And they will destroy everything. That means not a single grapes will be stay behind. That's the way I'm going to do it. If I'm going to destroy you, and then another raid will come and say, if there is anyone remaining, destroy them. Not a single grape should be there. And that's what your stage will be. What kind of warning is this? If somebody gives you a warning like this, you know what? God has given you everything. But the one day will come and God will send the enemy, the robbers, the killers, the destroyer, will take everything. There are some people say, oh, I'm a billionaire. I have everything. I will never have a problem. Do you know those billionaires can be beggars someday? Howard Hughes. You know that Howard Hughes was the richest man in America. But he died like a beggar. Could not have his own food. Chained like a dog. And died like a fool. Money will not save you. Money comes, and the word of God says money has wings. They fly away. There are so many rich people. Do you know how many people hit the lottery? 300 millions. Wow. They can, now I'm going to leave. I'm going to give up my job and I'm going to leave now. $300 million. Before they go and claim that lottery, somebody kills them. Or if they bring it, before they can use it, they are dead. Or somebody do something wrong. And you listen to the stories. You just go and say, how many people won the lottery and what is their stage today? They might be homeless, beggars, walking. Why? That money is not blessed. That money is somebody's blood money. Some poor person played and that poor person played and all these poor people's blood money. And you say, well, I'm getting it. God doesn't want that quick money. If you work hard and you get the money, that money is blessed. But the quick money will come quickly and go quickly. So don't play lotteries. Lottery is not good for you. Why somebody says, why not good? I'll tell you one thing. If somebody is playing $5 a lottery per day, $150 per month, then you calculate. And if you live 100 years and never win one lottery, you spend millions of dollars in vain. Somebody comes to me, Pastor Peter, you are a man of God. God listens to your prayer. Could you pray for me so I can win the lottery? I'll give you 50%. I said, no, sir. God did not tell me to give somebody lottery ticket. The word of God says, the love of money is the root of all evil. The money will kill you. Money will destroy you. Whatever money you have, use it for the glory of God. Because all your money, all your wealth is going to go vanish away. He says everything will be like an inhabitable place. Means like no animal can live, no bird can live. Somebody says, I never saw that place. Oh, let me tell you. You put a bomb in one place. And see what grows there. How many animals stay there. And how many birds goes there. Nobody will go. That's the kind of place he's talking about. Okay, let's go read the verse 10.
To whom shall I speak and to give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it.
Now here is saying, who is there to listen to my voice? Jesus Christ says, if you have ear, let him hear. If you read in a Revelation, each and every time said, if you have ear, let him hear. Everybody has the ears. Very rarely people, they don't have ears, but still they have hole. They can still hear. God has given us not one, but two ears. So you can hear. But people do not want to hear the word of God. Now some people are preaching the truth. People do not want to hear. They said, in the last days, people will have what? Itching ears. Itching ears means they don't want to hear. They want to close their ear. I don't want to hear what he's saying. What they want to hear? They want to hear. You're going to, how many people want to hit the lottery tomorrow? I'll give the number. That's what they want to hear. How many people wants the car? The point I'm making, that's what people wants to hear. I get to church, what church can give it to me? Church will give you the message of salvation. Once you get saved, you have everything. Jesus says, give the gospel to poor. What does it mean? The poor people hear the gospel. Jesus comes in. The salvation comes. The healing comes. The prosperity comes. All the blessing flows. One man called me and he said, you know, in our place, we have a problem. There is no rain coming and this and that. I prayed for him and he called me back. He sent me email. Pastor Peter, your prayer works. We have the prosperity. We have the rain came and we are doing good. And the other man said, you know, when we received Jesus Christ in our town, whole town got blessed. All surrounding town, no rain. But our town, we have rain, we have prosperity, we have everything. How does it work? When you give your heart to God, God blesses it. So the word of God is saying, when you want to hear the word of God, God wants to help you, bless you, but you don't have desire to hear. He says their ears are uncircumcised. We read a couple of weeks ago, their heart was uncircumcised. She said, you have to do the circumcise of your heart. Then he said, your heart has to be washed. Now he says, your ears are not circumcised. That means your ears are still belong to the devil. You have to dedicate your life to Jesus. Your ears, your eyes. When I got saved, I said, Lord, I give my eyes to you. I will never look at any beautiful girl with a lust. I will never look at the movies, filthy movies with these eyes. I made a covenant with God. I gave my eyes to God. All our organs have belonged to God. We give it to God and then God will take care of it. And so I tell people when they ask prayer, when God heals you, what do? You serve the Lord. You testify, you glorify, you tell people what God has done. Okay, let's read the verse 11.
Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord.
Can you imagine how terrible things are happening? If God steals somebody, you know what's going to happen? Your children. If the mother and father, child suffers in front of them, that's the much more painful thing than anything else. You cannot do anything. That little child is crying and crying and do not know what to say. And that child is crying, so your heart, your stomach gets upside down. You got so much pain, my child, I cannot help you. What's happening to you? He said, your children will be dying. Not only that, the young people, they say young people assemble. Where they're assembling young people? Gangster. Today now they have a telephone or email or what do you call, texting, and say, oh, let's go to certain place, gather together, we want to destroy these shops. Within a half an hour, 200, 300 people, children gathers. Those are the people that they are assembled together. They are not assembling to pray. They are not assembling to do the Lord's work. They are not assembling to do something good. They are assembled to do destruction. That's what the young people are gathering. But those people will be destroyed. And then he says, husband and wives will be destroyed. Now see, if the husband and wife, they love one another, they take care of one another, God will not destroy them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, please read. Here he's saying, husband has to love his wife. The wife are weaker vessel. Somebody says, my wife is 300 pounds. But still she's a weaker vessel. My wife is in an army, but still she's a weaker vessel. Man is a much more stronger mentally, physically, and man can take control of any lady who is in the army or wrestling team. Man is still a man. 1 Peter 3:7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
See what he's trying to say. Husband has to love his wife, and not only that, pray together. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, two of us agree touching anything, he will hear the prayer. If the wife is not agreeing with her husband, and husband is not agreeing with wife, and they pray, nothing works. Now, God is not going to destroy the husband and wife, but why is destroying? This wife might be going after somebody, and this husband might be going with somebody. So he said, destruction is coming. Go back to the Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 11, last part. And then he said, not only husband and wife, the aged people, full of age, full of days. So what he's trying to say, not only old people, sometimes people say, oh, 45, too old. 50, you're old. 50, nowadays, I saw one picture the other day, one lady, 113 years old and still going. So now, 45 years old, you think I'm too old. But say, okay, if you're too old, you're going to die. And the people are very old, 100 years or 95 years, those people also will die. Psalm 91, verse 16, what he says? He's saying, God says, I will give them long life and show them my salvation.
With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
This is the promise. But this promise is not coming true to these people, children and young people and husband and wife and middle-aged people and old, fully-aged old people are going to be destroyed. Go back to the Jeremiah chapter 6, starting from verse 12.
And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord.
Your children, your young children, your wife, young wife or husband, old and middle-aged and everybody, not only that, I'm going to give your houses also. Your houses will be gone. I'll give your wife to somebody. And they are destroying your family. So these are the destruction coming. He said, thus said the Lord. If this kind of warning comes and you don't listen, I don't know what you will listen. Okay, verse 13.
For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely.
He said, why am I doing this? Everyone. Least to the great means small to the oldest. Everyone doing things. Why? What is doing? Greediness. And they want everything, me, and give it to me. And they are not satisfied. Those kind of people, he said, not only them, but the priests and pastors and leaders and highly educated people, they are all doing the same thing. Last time we read last week, he said, I am looking for one man. Go in highway and byway and find one person, justice, a just person. I will save you. But none was there. Okay, verse 14.
They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord.
See what is happening, he says. The people are saying, peace, peace. They are giving a false hope. If they are dying, they say, oh, no, nothing is going to happen. Oh, but I'm committing sin. No problem. God is loving and so, but I'm in the adultery. I have already two girlfriends spoiled and now the third is there. What's going to happen? Oh, no problem. God is loving and he will take care of you. This is kind of false hope they are giving, but the destruction is coming. Okay, verse 16.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein.
Now he says, I'm going to give you a chance. Look for the old path. Now you're going in the wrong way. The word of God says, repent means turn around. You're going in the wrong way. I want to tell you the old path. Now you're in the modern era. People are saying we have to rewrite the Bible. according to today's society. I say, sir, you might be having some kind of amnesia or some kind of brain damage thing or something. Go to the old route. Oh, nowadays you don't have to get married. College, now they have rooms for the girls and boys together. Oh, college approved? So the boy and girl comes home, say, mommy, oh, I have a boyfriend and he wants to come and live with me because we live in the dorm together. And so the college says, yes, why you say no? They want all the society should say, hey, this is okay. Whatever you learn from childhood, that stays in your mind. That's why they're brainwashing children and making this society like an evil society. So the people are listening this and thinking this is right. We have to do this because everybody does it. Bible says you don't have to do because everybody's doing it. We have to do what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. Read the Word of God. Give children the Bible. Tell them, hey, you read this and then you will have good grades. Give them the Bible to read and their life will change. So here he says, go and look for the old path. Read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. He says, somebody sees the road and says, oh, beautiful, great road. This is the way I'm going to go. Please read.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
See? He says, if you're going in a highway, going in the road, this looks good to me. This is best road I'm going. Somebody said, no, you're going wrong way. No, you don't know. But the end of this is death. That's what the Word of God says. Why don't you change your way? Go the right way. Otherwise, death is waiting for you. Okay, go back to the Jeremiah. Start from 17.
Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my word, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me.
Now hear the word of God is saying, I blow the trumpet. The trumpet means a loud voice. I did not whisper in your ear, do this, do this, do this. I blow the trumpet loudly. The prophet was saying, do this. You didn't listen. And you just going your own way. And so you didn't hear me. And you going your way. So the destruction is right there. But what you thinking? Hey, God is good. He's not going to destroy me. Let's bring the sacrifice. Okay, somebody says, could you give this $10 to the church? And what you doing? Oh, I have a boyfriend here and we are busy. And so I cannot go to church. Give $10 to the church. What the Bible says? Proverbs 28 verse 9. If you don't listen to God, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to pray, you don't want to read the Bible.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
See, your prayer is abomination, your sacrifice is abomination. They said, oh, but we bought this incense from Sheba. Far away we went and got this expensive incense to offer a God. He said, you might have gone 1,000 miles. To bring this to please me. I don't want your incense. I don't want your sacrifice. What he wants? Your heart. If your heart is not right, God is not going to take anything. If you don't listen to God, he's not going to listen to you. Okay, let's go back to the Jeremiah. Verse 21.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, they are cruel and have no mercy, their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion.
Now here he's saying, listen to the father and children. I'm going to put the stumbling block and you're going to be destroyed. I'm going to send the enemy from the north. They are vicious enemy. And in the olden days, they said arrow, things like that they have, but they are wicked and cruel. Today's army is much more cruel than before. Now the today's army, they have bombs and atom bomb and roaring like a big helicopters. He said they are coming like a roaring sea. They never heard that. Could not explain. But today's army are going to come to destroy the whole earth. He said, I'm going to send this from coming from the whole earth, different parts of the world to destroy you. Okay, let's read verse 24.
We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail.
Say, this kind of trouble will come like a pain when the lady gives the birth pain. It's warning, this kind of trouble is coming. Verse 25.
Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us.
Now he is saying, please stay indoor. Wear the sackcloth. Stay in the ashes. Lie down or sit down in ashes and pour the ashes on your body. Wear the sackcloth. What he's trying to say? Repent. And what kind of repentance? He said, don't repent slowly. Just think that your firstborn or your child is dead. Or you are in birth pain. Mourn and cry and weep because the horrible days are coming. What does it mean? Sometime God might change it. If you repent, Nineveh's people, they repented. God changed his thought. Okay, verse 27.
I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away.
Now see, here he's saying, he's talking to Jeremiah, I set you there to watch over these people. Tell them, be a watchman. And I'm telling you what kind of people are this. He's giving an example. They are not silver, they are not gold, but they are like a brass, they are like a metal, they are like a lead. When you put in the fire, they melt away. And they said this, when we start keeping the silver and gold and start finding if there is anything come out pure with it, but it's nothing coming but all the mud and dust and destruction. No purity, no gold can find, no silver can find, because they are already melting away. Means there is nothing good I can find in you. Everything is bad. And then he said, let's read the verse 30.
Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them.
He said, this is the silver is no good. Nothing good. There's nothing coming. It's like a rejected silver, rejected metal, melt away metal. And the person who is working on it is wasting his time. It's not going to work. So only thing is work what? Repent. Put a sackcloth. Stay in the ashes and cry to God, save you or protect you. Shall we rise? Let's pray. If God is talking to somebody, he says sudden destruction will come if you don't listen. We have to say, Lord, enough is enough. We are going wrong way. We want to repent. Let the people see the change of heart in us. We are going to produce the fruit of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for warning after warning. All of these things we are reading, what happened to the children of Israel. Lord Jesus, you have given us Savior. They bought the sweet perfume or sweet incense from Sheba. But your word says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Jesus Christ already sacrificed his life, and that sweet aroma came to you. You are pleased with the life of Jesus Christ. Give us grace to follow Christ. Let our life be a sweet aroma to somebody. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.